Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with Ed Alexander. Ed and I welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. It is a Thursday, April the 9th, 2015. Hope you've had a good day so far, anyway. We're coming to you live from AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. We're live streaming the show at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. Podcasts and our complete show archive available for you 24/7 at buckmastershow.com. We're going to begin with our monthly showdown, where the progressive left meets the hard right. Then at 12:30, David Higuera. I mispronounced David's name.
Higuera.
There you go. Thank you very much. Of the Children's Action Alliance will join us, and we'll close out the show with our monthly consumer affairs contributor, Tom Collier. The Buckmaster Show live line is open for you, 790-2040. If you'd like to join in on the showdown, and we hope you do, give us a call. Our Facebook page, we're easy to find. If you know my name, you can find us. It's Bill Buckmaster. It is the monthly showdown. Sean McCluskey on the seated to the right of me on the hard right, and David Morales of the blog site Three Sonoran. David, an avowed progressive, he's seated to the left. I'm in my referee's shirt. We can bring down now the microphone into the ring, and your ring announcer, yours truly, Bill Buckmaster. Sean, how are you?
Doing very well, sir. Thank you.
And David, how's it going?
Getting better. Allergies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we read about those of it follow you on Facebook. You were very ill there for a while. Had to even check into a local emergency room where you, well, I guess it's pretty common these days to sit and wait, right?
I knew as soon as I went there, I was be waiting for 6 to 8 hours, and that was true.
But it was nothing about the color of your skin or anything that gave you poor treatment.
No, just bad. Bad ER system that we have here.
By now, Sean, everybody in the world, Sean and David, they've seen the dramatic video of a South Carolina police officer shooting an unarmed black man in the back, and it's really shaken a lot of people up. And the officer is now a former officer.
He was
on the North Charleston police force, and he is charged with murder.
It was like he was wearing pinstripes right now. He was charged with murder and removed from the force almost immediately. The video appeared, and if you see the video, you'll see the gentleman running away from the cop. That's the only question that I had about the whole thing, was why was he running away from him? Extreme use of force, 8 shots to the back. Why didn't he tase him? Why didn't he just chase him down? There's several questions there. But at the end of the day, take the statement that everybody says, white cop shot black man. Mm-hmm. Just remove it. Cop shot unarmed man.
Right.
Do it that way. Take the color out of it, and would there still be the outrage? Yes, there would still be the outrage, because dirty cops are dirty cops that need to be removed. Mm-hmm. Now, reverse it and do the statement now, and 123 Q L Sharpton, Q Jesse Jackson, here comes a fundraiser, and it's white cop shoots black man.
David?
Well, I mean, it's a fact that a white man shot a black cop. And so if you want to analyze patterns, which is like mathematicians do, you have to look at categories. How do these different categories fit in? And what you notice is there's this pattern of white cops killing black, unarmed black men.
No, there are reported white cops killing black men.
There are videos.
Black cop killing black teen never gets reported. Hispanic cop killing anybody never gets reported. It happened here in Tucson. We've talked about it on this show, and nobody said not a word about it.
The problem is, so for example, let's talk about this case where the cop actually didn't get busted until the video emerged. And so what happens is you have this history of the minority community always telling people there's something wrong going on here. The cops are abusing us. And no one ever wants to listen. No one ever believes them. You're just lying. Jesse Jackson, all this stuff. You're just complaining. But then we're finally having video now because of cell phones. And, you know, you think about the case of Garner in New York City. This is a person who, another person.
Again, resisted arrest. This gentleman in North Carolina was running away from the cop. Why was he running
Doesn't
away?
Doesn't matter. You don't deserve to die.
I agree with you. I wholeheartedly agree with you there. However, if he would have respected authority when the authority told him to, hey, we're going to question you, you don't take off in a dead sprint.
Now, I think what you're saying is actually the key of what's going on today. And it's this this loss of complete hegemony that the mostly white men have in this country, and that for some reason you're not getting the respect that you feel you deserve nowadays. Like the president is now black, and so there's
a problem. Who cares what color the president is? Who cares what color anybody's skin is? If you are treat me like a piece of dirt, I am not
the
going
cops
to respect you.
Treat
don't
our
care
community
what color
like a
you
piece
are.
Of dirt. The cops kill our people. What is the history of the police? What is the history of the sheriffs of the sheriff in the United States?
Have you looked at the genetic makeup of our TPD officers? What color are they predominantly?
Are they the ones killing black people that we're talking about today?
Thankfully, no. But now, then again, we had a white cop shoot a black man.
I think we should interject in here, gentlemen, the fact that, like any profession, there are bad apples.
Absolutely.
And I don't know what the percentage is, but I'm going to err on the side of optimism that the vast, vast majority of our police officer, men and women, are good people who believe in upholding the law.
Absolutely.
But there are going to be bad apples. There are bad apples in your profession, Sean. Mm-hmm. There are in mine. And David, there are in yours as an educator.
What I would say is for example, like when Fox News and conservative stations talk about like terrorist attacks or something, they paint all Muslims. They always mention that it was a Muslim. It was a Muslim. And it's always a Muslim problem. And it's always a cultural problem with the black people, how they're brought up and stuff. Race is always an issue there. Now, forget that, you know, a few bad apples who are Muslims, you know, do not, you know, represent everyone. That doesn't matter. And then you call for where's the outcry from the imams and the leaders of the Muslim community and the minority community. The problem here is the police never do that. So the police, whenever there are bad apples, they're never self-reflective of what they've done bad. They never say, okay, this is bad, let's fix it. What they do is instead they stick together. So, for example, the video that of Eric Garner, the boy who shot the video was harassed, and now he's in jail by the police in all the days after the shooting. They stopped him on the street every time they saw him. They took his cell phone multiple times.
And this is the one in New York?
This is the one in New York, because he lives in Staten Island, which has the highest density of police. They would shine the police lights into into his house. That's thuggery right there. That's a police force that's afraid of any loss of power. And instead of looking and saying, we're responsible, we shouldn't do this, we're going to weed out the bad apples, they stand together. You stand behind the guy, the cop who killed Eric Garner, right?
But they did move to quickly terminate this guy and
Absolutely.
Charge him with murder. But David, you said something earlier. Do you think if there had not been the video taken on the cell phone or whatever on the phone, do you think that the police officer would still be working at the?
It's a fact that they did not do anything to the cop until the video came out, because you always side with the police. You know, the police says I was in threat, I was in danger, and like I say, you're not holding the person who killed Eric Garner accountable. You're not holding the person who killed Michael Brown accountable. You're not holding the person that killed the 12-year-old boy accountable.
The DOJ didn't hold Michael Brown accountable.
No one is.
So it's because it was self-defense. And if in all these situations,
really,
the commonality between all three of them is if they would have respected authority and
if they
halted,
weren't killed, they would be alive.
Absolutely, but they chose not to respect
Who
authority.
Who cares? That's not against the law.
Who cares?
Teenagers don't respect authority. You don't go to teenagers and say, oh, you should all die because you're not
you
respecting
my
authority.
You had three cops taking down the gentleman in New York.
If you look at the video.
And he died because he did not, he resisted arrest.
The 12-year-old boy did not respect authority. That's what you're saying. If you look at the video, the cops within like 2 seconds of jumping out of the car shot him dead. He's a 12-year-old boy at a park.
But
you're saying that's
we're
okay.
Not talking about
we
the 12-year-old
boy. We have to respect authority.
Absolutely, and it comes from within. And we talked about this on Facebook.
You don't respect
authority.
Are you saying Sean doesn't?
He doesn't respect our president.
No, I don't.
And he's a former soldier, right?
Commander-in-chief. He's the commander-in-chief, and I do not respect him because I do not agree with his decision.
It's a double standard.
Not at all.
You don't respect authority. Cops do bad things. The history of cops.
I agree with you. There's probably less than 1% of the police that do horrific things, and those should be removed, like the gentleman in North Carolina, South Carolina.
If you look at the history, and this is why there's such tension, the history of police has always been to protect the most powerful class.
It's not the 50s anymore.
It's guess what? There's segregation happening at 10:10 when we were protesting at MAS. The police were still, you know, came down on us. Police have always been used.
What was the makeup of the cops? You didn't have a bunch of white cops. You had a bunch of racially mixed cops. Yes.
Yeah, and who were they harassing? The minority community.
Because you guys stormed the dais and threatened the board members. Not the next week, but you had a precedent.
And then you say,
you have thugs that you're raising because they're right. Lack of authority. They do not respect it. There's
so
no
you,
respect
what
there.
What do you mean when
Adelita goes and says, "Go ahead and chase and." and chain yourself to the dais.
She never said that.
What is she teaching them? She was the one who sent out the mass text. Pull her text record.
Now, when you say you, the way these are the thugs that you are raising, what do you mean by you?
In general, the people that supported
the people, which
the people that supported the kids to go up
the
to
minority
the dais,
community.
No. The one, not all of the minority community, do not put that word in my mouth. It is the select few. Just like the bad cop, you have the bad student. You have the bad pit bull, you got the good pit bull.
Now what,
the
now,
kids that storm the dais have no respect for authority.
Now, what did the Tea Party do? That's your Tea Party, right? The Tea Party was based on not respecting authority.
200 and X number of years ago? Absolutely,
yeah. And
yes,
you named yourself after that not respect for authority. You named yourself after challenging authority. So it's a double standard. You guys can stand up for authority. You guys can stand up to the president. You guys can have the Bundy Ranch and all this stuff. You guys can have this. But when we do anything, standing up for education.
In an unpeaceful protest.
All right. The guy is very passionate today. 790-2040. Ed, should we take Ingrid before we take the break? Let's see if we can work. We're going to do the break first, then we'll come back. Ingrid, just hold on there, and 790-2040, Sean McCluskey and David Morales, I'll tell you, they're all fired up today. We'll be right back.
I can't believe we just saved $75,000 on our new dream home site. We discovered Rancho Soldados, the new custom home gated community with spectacular home sites located on Old Soldiers Trail. They are offering only 12 $75,000 discount lots, and we got one. Only six more are left. You have to see the custom homes already completed in Rancho Soldados to envision what's possible for your dream home.
On Tanque Verde, East Old Soldiers Trail, 207-4188, represented by Long Realty.
The Regional Transportation Authority has completed more than 570 projects to date. Our projects range from new roadway lanes to new transit services, plus new sidewalks and bike lanes. The Regional Transportation Authority also funds crosswalks for added pedestrian safety and new signal technology to keep people and goods moving. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Are you planning a party or special event? Contact Arizona Party Rental, the number one party rental company in Southern Arizona. Here's what our customers are saying about us.
Hi, this is Bert Williams with Williams & Associates. We are Arizona's largest promotional products company. Anything you put a logo on, that's us. But this isn't about me. This is about Arizona Party Rental and the team they have that makes things happen. They have everything you would ever need for a party or any event. Tents, chairs, tables, and the expertise to advise you with what you need in a timely manner. When I think of Arizona Party Rental, I think of integrity and I think of community involvement. We've used Arizona Party Rental many times. They are on time, efficient, and are a great value. I love working with Ken and his team at Arizona Party Rental. Ken can stack BBs at a 45 degree angle with gloves on.
Hey, thanks a lot, Bert. Quality products, exceptional selection, and outstanding service. That's Arizona Party Rental. Visit us online at arizonapartyrental.net.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Five-star Termite and Pest Control reminds you of their patented foaming treatment with an onomatopoeia poem. Termites, oh termites, why must you eat? The homes of Tucson shall not be your treat. Five-star, will your foam help protect? It certainly will. Your walls will inject. Foaming your home will get rid of them snappy. Termites go away and our customers happy. Call Five-star. That's Five-star, 886-0045 and fivestartermite.com.
We know what bugs you.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amato is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves.
Welcome back. It is the Monthly Showdown. Sean McCluskey is here, and David Morales got a couple of calls, want to join in on the showdown. We encourage that. 790-2040. Ingrid has been waiting the longest, so she's up first. Hi, Ingrid.
Hi. This has to do with the response by law enforcement to certain situations. You may remember some time ago, a woman was evicted from a bar because she was quite drunk, and the responding officer tased her, continued to tase her, despite the fact that she was obviously drunk, barely knew what she was doing, to the point that she suffered permanent double vision, the last I heard, and I don't know what other injuries she may have experienced that were permanent. That seemed to be vicious. The other incident where the man recently shot in the back and killed, he was stopped for some kind of a traffic violation. At what point does a police officer find it necessary to tase a person? We don't know yet what the man was doing, but so the man fled and he was shot and killed for a traffic stop, and you talked about the kids at the meeting. They chained themselves. They were behaving riotously and so forth. But would anybody have tased them and shot them if they tried to run?
I don't know. All right. Here's David Morales.
You know, I think so. Someone sent me this video about how would you act in these situations. So they had like a black civil rights leader who was pretending to be a cop. The cops were doing this, and they had this guy who's very aggressive. And he, you know, the guy pulls out his gun and says, "Okay, step out of the car." And the guy was purposefully aggressive with him. He was a bigger man too, and you know, he kept coming at him, and then the guy ended up like shooting him, right? Well, fake shooting him, right? And they said, "Well, see, even the you guys would do the same thing." And so what I took from that was, you will do what the tools you're given, you know, allow you to do. So if you have a gun in your hand, that's your tool, right? Like if I'm fighting Mike Tyson and we're boxing and I have a gun, like to protect myself, I will use the gun, right? So, you know, when the cops have the guns in their hands, the temptation, the accident, the purpose, whatever it is, it will be deadly.
But they need a weapon.
Talk to your buddy Adelita. She's taken away their batons. She's taken away their tasers, and she only gives them guns. So this is on your leadership. This is on no one else but your city council. Your city council fails. Yeah, I'm sorry, not Adelita, Rahina. Your city council fails to properly protect your community by properly
giving them
equipping
the tools.
Your officers. Mm-hmm. And this is directly on your city council and no one else.
Next up is our next caller wants to talk about the New York incident. Go ahead. Hi, is this Harrison?
Yes, it is.
Go ahead, Harrison.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. You had mentioned that the New York police had harassed the videographer in the New York case. Mm-hmm. And my question would be, the police activity there would ultimately go up the chain to the mayor of New York. And the last time I checked, he wasn't in any way, shape, or form affiliated with conservatives, the Tea Party, or the GOP. I'm not trying to take sides. I'm just wondering why no blame is being put towards Mayor de Blasio, since he's the one who's going to have the single most authority and power to affect that situation.
Andy is a Democrat.
Yes, he is.
And, oh, I know. And he's come down hard on the police. He didn't have any respect for the police, and yet he is the ultimate end-all, be-all. So, again, lack of leadership. It goes back to what DA and I were talking about privately. I think it was Easter Sunday. You had Saturday afternoon, Kentucky lost. A young man dropped a racial slur. And if I were to call anybody else, myself, if I were to be somebody called me a Mick, being Irish, I take offense to that. And this gentleman dropped it on national TV.
To a white person.
Exactly, about a white person, a derogatory black term. And nothing was made of it, which was astonishing. But that again, goes back to your leadership. It goes back to your core. It goes back to your community. It goes back to your community leaders. It goes back to your coach.
You're saying a double standard.
Absolutely. Here. But if you're allowing that to be done and that to be said, it means that you are allowing that to maintain the culture. You're, again, no respect.
Well,
shame on him.
Well, so
absolutely.
So I have two points to make here. Is one about the mayor case. You're saying there's no respect for authority. Well, if like the caller said, the chain of command goes up to the mayor, the cops had no respect for his authority. So they're the ones showing a double standard. Now, with the incident you're talking about, I just find it interesting. And this is what I find is the bigger problem going on today is whenever the right wing gets outraged, it's over like, okay, you got outraged that, you know, a player after a game after losing, you know, dropped the N-word toward a white person. But now compare that to your outrage when Eric Gardner is killed. Compare that to your outrage when a 12-year-old boy is killed in a park. There's no comparison between the two. One is a word that is used. One is killing. And that's the thing is when we're talking about here is the disparities here are there's people dying in one case and there's lack of respect. Like you
absolutely. But the difference is the extreme. You have the kids who have no respect for authority, and then they end up going and they go way too far. And just as you said, the reverend shot the cop because of the fact that simulated shooting because of the fact that he felt threatened. When the cops feel threatened, they aggressively
react. That's why they
shouldn't
have guns. You know,
they need guns because the criminals have guns and they shoot at them. So you got to be able to shoot.
That's all the topic about guns. But I mean, that's the thing is, this is a society we're living
you're
in.
You're not advocating that police be unarmed, are you, David?
I don't think they should have their guns out at all times. You know, because the first instinct is to shoot, right? I mean, yeah.
But even the British police, who for years have had a tradition of no weapons, have really gone now the other way in places like London. I don't know how it is in the rural areas, but they now are going that way. Police, they in the environment they're working in many cases, it's a jungle out there.
If you get somebody who's hopped up on whatever drug of the day is and they have the strength of 10 men and you don't have anything to defend yourself, You need something to defend yourself, whether it be a taser, whether it be a baton, whether it be a billy club, whether it be a weapon.
Steve,
they need something.
Steve is calling us on the live line, 790-2040. Go ahead, Steve.
Hello. Now, I kind of take offense that when they say you call everybody white wing when you're right, when you're white. And I'm in the middle of Republican and Democrat. I'm in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't hear no outrage of no one, you know, but I guess it's the media I'm really upset about because Do you remember the white man who was beaten by those black Latino kids in St. Louis in December with hammers? They went down the street. They beat him. They had beat some people before that.
Him or the World War II veteran. Yeah, both of them.
And then they killed him. And no one talked about it. And it was black kids. If it would have been white people, because I'm going to say white because I'm white and that's all we hear about, it would have been exploded. But it was four black teens and Latino that beat him with hammers and killed him. You didn't hear no outrage. I didn't hear no outrage on the Hispanic, the black side going and out there protesting how this could be.
No. This is what the outrage is about.
It all happens like this.
The outrage is when a policeman who's hired to protect gets away with murder. That's the difference. Now, people do bad things. If these cops killed people and they were held accountable, that would be different. There'd be no outrage. But the outrage is you can kill people and get away with it.
Steve, go ahead.
Okay. All I'm saying is that's wrong. No one, I don't know one person in the world that would say that was right. Of course that's wrong. But I don't hear the other side being upset when it happens to the other people, when it's other races doing it to other races.
So you need to start listening more. There's outrage everywhere.
I think Steve brings up a good point, though, about the way the media, the my colleagues in the broadcast industry and the print media, the way this stuff is portrayed.
They sensationalize the fact that it's a white cop shot a black man. When the 89-year-old World War II veteran was killed by four black youths, they didn't mention anything. The president didn't say anything
cops
about it.
Cops are expected to not kill people. These were bad people. They were not cops. The cops get away with it. That's the outrage, is that cops, it's legalized lynching today. You can kill black people and you just say, well, with Trayvon Martin, I felt, you know, danger was coming toward me. So you're allowed to kill black people nowadays and get away with it. That's the outrage. Now, if these people killed the 82-year-old man who you're talking about and got away with it, that's outrageous.
They didn't get away with it. That's the best part about it.
That's what I mean. Justice is not being served for the cops. That's the outrage. There's a double standard here.
Okay, you don't see the equality there.
Criminals do bad things, but cops should not be the criminals that are killing bad people.
And you're talking about less than 1% of all the cops.
And I'm talking
in
about
the
all
country.
The cops that protect their own instead of holding them accountable.
Well, again, I still believe it's just a small percentage, very, very small percentage of our law enforcement that do these kinds of things. And it's not right, and there's bad people in every profession.
And they get caught and they get removed.
Yeah. They don't get removed.
The guy is fired in less than 3 hours. I mean,
one person because of video emerged.
And, out of the thousands, hundreds of thousands.
He's charged with murder.
And out of the hundreds and thousands of police officers that are out there are not that many. There's less than 1% of them that are the bad apple.
We are over time, but Jim has called. Jim Kelly, our friend. And Jim, very quickly, please.
Hi. Good morning, gentlemen. Listen, I think what you guys are all missing the point on is culturally the value of human life. And secondly, you know, whenever there's a killing or a murder or even a homicide, it's not necessarily what the mainstream media has to say about it. It's about the system itself. Who's doing the judging of whether it is murder or just a homicide? And that's what's got to be looked at in every city in America. Who's judging the cops of whether they've done right or wrong? Unfortunately, it's too much within the blue line and not enough people outside of it with good judgment making those judgments.
I think that's a very good comment, Jim.
Oh, my God, I'm agreeing with Jim Kelly.
Why not? Okay, David, thank you very much. Sean McCluskey, good to see you both, and we'll do this again in early May. Gentlemen, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
All right, the Buckmaster Show on this Thursday afternoon as we push toward 12:32. We'll talk with the Southern Arizona Director of the Children's Action Alliance next.
It's spring cleaning time once again. This year, you can offer a fresh start to someone in your community and a fresh start for your stuff. Goodwill is accepting donations of clothes, electronics, and household items. The revenues from your gently used items will fund job training and community-based services to people here in Southern Arizona. So while you get yourself and your home off to a fresh start this spring, you'll be helping someone else nearby do the same. More information is available at goodwillsouthernaz.org.
Life on Earth exists in a delicate balance. Earth is a closed system. That's why it's so important to find ways to replenish resources as we use them. At the University of Arizona Biosphere 2, we study ways to sustainably replenish and reuse every day. See sustainability in action this April for Earth Month activities at Biosphere 2. Find us online at biosphere2.org.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Friday, our Friday Focus interview with Congresswoman Ann Kirkpatrick. Our Friday Roundtable features Sarah Garrett Gasson of The Star and Jim Nintzel of The Weekly. Buckmaster during the noon hour on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice, and always on BuckmasterShow.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. If you're into bicycling, and so many people are in Tucson, head over to Silver City, 3 hours east of Tucson, for the Tour of the Gila, April 29th through May 3rd, and of course the 20th annual Silver City's Blues Festival. Taj Mahal will be headlining that show. It's going to be terrific over in Silver City. You can find out about the great places to stay, like Continental Divide RV Ranch and Bear Mountain Lodge, by visiting southwestnewmexico.org. They also have a great listing of the many, many things to do over in a beautiful area of the Southwest, and that would be Southwest New Mexico. Let's welcome now Tom Collier. Tom is the consumer contributor to the Buckmaster Show. He's also going to be doing a special consumer affairs show while I am off enjoying a little time away from things over in the Hawaiian Islands.
I'm jealous.
Oh, gosh. But that's going to be coming up in May. But right now, it is tax time. And this is a good time to go see Michael C. Flowers, certified public.
A very good time. If your taxes are complicated enough where you need that level, well, even if they're not, you know, expert tax advice, and it's hard to come by now, particularly if you want to talk to a human being. The IRS is stressed out. The IRS is stretched thin. And they point blank have said that they're not going to have the people available that they used to have in the past to give non-binding advice. You know, whatever they say, it's a you can't. They say don't depend on it. A lot of folks are going to TurboTax, you know, and other online tax preparation software. They finally got that concern about people hijacking identity and filing taxes for people that they weren't supposed to. They finally got that straightened out. There's a double check and and a double login process. And then the attorneys, various states and then the IRS itself are double checking to make sure that it's appropriate and that you haven't been hijacked when you file your taxes. So if that's the route you're going to take, hop to it. You've only got until Wednesday of next week to do it.
There you go, Tom.
One more weekend.
Tom Collier with us on the Buckmaster Show. What is this zombie debt we keep hearing about?
Well, it's been in the news recently because the Federal Consumer Financial Protection Agency has gone after a bunch of debt collection agencies, primarily in the East, but so happens that they're also functioning in the West, because I got a call about a debt that I did not owe from a zombie debt collector using a robo-dialer. Oh. Didn't matter whether I picked up the phone and answered it in person or let the call screening handle it. It always left a message that said, "This is an attempt to collect a debt. Call blah, 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 blah." But the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau has come down really hard on these zombie debts. There's really two types of zombie debt. And we're talking about debt that comes back to life. In Arizona, the statute of limitations to collect a debt is 6 years. If it's more than 6 years and it hasn't been collected, whether you were deliberately trying to skip it or not, or simply didn't have the resources to pay it, then it's no longer collectible, supposedly.
There's a statute.
There's a statute of limitations which says if you as a person who is owed money don't collect that money within 6 years, then you are precluded from collecting it through the courts or suing or anything like that. If it's a retail debt, a standard right. consumer debt. So if you got past the 6 years. There are agencies that buy at an extreme discount lists of people who owe money that are beyond the statute of limitations. Mm-hmm. So they call it zombie debt because it comes back to life again. These collection agencies call. They mostly use robocallers, mm-hmm. and they attempt to get you to admit that the debt is valid, which brings the debt back to life.
Whoa. So,
and then they can start the process all over again.
So if you, and I did not know this about that 6-year statute, and most people probably have no idea about that. So if you admit, then that sort of kicks in, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I'm not, we're certainly not advising people to hunker down and wait for the 6 years. If you owe the money, pay the money.
Of course.
Yeah. But what happens is that these collection agencies use a lot of telemarketing techniques, and they make allegations of false claims that the money is owed. Now, you may have gotten out from under the statute of limitations, and you may actually owe the money, but you're home free if you're past the 6 years, unless you admit to them that you owe it. But the reason the CFPB has gone after these companies is manufactured debt, and I got a call like that. At my house, as your consumer editor, my skirts must be clean financially. You don't want any headlines about Buckmaster's consumer editor, sued for debt or anything that. So at any rate, what happened was I got this call and they were alleging that I had a PayPal debt that I owed.
Really?
That gave me pause, because I do have a personal PayPal account, but I also have, I work for a lot of charities and serve on boards and committees and commissions and things like that. And so we have structured a lot of them where I'm the primary person on that agency's PayPal account.
Right.
I'm the treasurer and keep the books.
So there was
like that
little kernel of perhaps it's true.
Yeah, perhaps.
Yeah.
And one of the things that happens is that they will attempt to persuade you that the debt is real by giving you information. They'll recite your name and your address and maybe even your social security number, because to be quite frank, that information is available, nearly. You can get that information. But the way they started with this particular call was they said, "We need you to confirm your address." Well, I'm thinking, I've got multiple PayPal accounts. Which address, for these agencies that I work with, might it be? And so I said, "You tell me what address you have, and I'll confirm whether that's it." And they said, No. We have to start something else." So,
okay.
What they're doing right there, point blank, they are violating the Federal Fair Debt Collection Practices Act, and have a pencil, because this is Section 809 of the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act. A legitimate debt collector, within 5 days after the time they contact you to attempt to collect the debt, must send you proof of the debt. They must send you the fact that the who is alleging that you owe the debt, how much the debt is, and how long ago the last payment was received. There's other information. They must confirm that you owe the debt. You don't have to ask for that. They are obligated to start that process on their own within 5 days after their initial contact to you. So all these threats about, you know, we're going to tell our neighbors, we're going to tell your employer, we're going to do other things to make you to shame you into paying this, those are illegal. They can't do that. And that's what the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau went after these agencies for. And, you know, they're talking considerable, you know, multi-million dollar fines to get these folks to stop doing what they're doing. So,
but they were kind of fishing with information, right?
And
this was just a call that came kind of
random.
Out of the blue.
Random. Yeah. Absolutely random. Mm-hmm. And then I got another one on my cell phone. This was on my home phone. You know, I'm one of those dinosaurs who still has a landline. So
yeah,
I still
have a
cell phone, but I recognize the number. You know, the search engines on the web are a great help. So I typed in this telephone number that I didn't recognize, and up come all kinds of complaints about this particular number. So I didn't even bother returning it. So, but the point is that even if you owe the debt legitimately, you have some rights that are given to you by the Federal Fair Debt Collection Practices Act. In Arizona, collection agencies are licensed and regulated by the Arizona Department of Financial Institutions. So there is a recourse there. They don't have an office in Tucson, unfortunately, or in Southern Arizona, but you can file a complaint online at azdfi.gov if you're abused by collection agents. And then Consumer Financial Protection Bureau has an online complaint capability too. To get these guys with this false allegation off my back, I put as many irons in the fire as I could. I complained to the Arizona Attorney General Consumer Protection Division, the State Department of Financial Institutions, the Attorney General in Washington State, which is where this company was headquartered, the Federal Trade Commission, and the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. CFPB was the first one that was responded to. The company said, we're taking him off. We're taking him off our call list. We're not going to bother him anymore. But we'll still allege that he owes the debt. I've never had a debt with that particular situation. So I wrote them back, CFPB back, and said, you might want to keep an eye on this company.
Mm.
Because
All right.
Unfortunately, one of the things that happens, it's what I call drop in the bucket enforcement. You have to be one of the drops in the bucket when it finally overflows and people get fed up. They're not going to help you individually with your individual situation, but always report it because you may
if
be
enough,
the straw
people,
that breaks
yes.
the camel's back, the drop that tips the balance in the bucket, and you'll get an enforcement action.
Good information as usual from Tom Collier. Tom Collier, the Buckmaster Show contributor on Consumer Affairs. Tom, thank you very much.
Thanks, Bill.
All right, we're going to take a break right here. We'll be back with the Southern Arizona Director of the Children's Action Alliance right after this. Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from Emil Franzi, Phil Richardson, and other top national columnists. Plus, Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, Rebecca Guthrie on books, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage, too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com, published Mondays and Thursdays. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
Hey, honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Sunlink Streetcar, Sun Shuttle, Twin Peaks Interchange, Valencia Road, Houghton Road, Saharita Road, McGee Road. Just a few examples of projects funded through the Regional Transportation Authority. Since voter approval of the RTA plan in 2006, the RTA and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 570 projects to make our transportation network safer and less congested. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Hi, wouldn't you like a voice like mine talking about your business? Saying things like, thank you for calling, or press 1 for hours and directions. Well, it can. Cox Business offers Voice Manager, allowing you to get a professional voice to record your voicemail greeting. And with my voice, you'll need to warn whoever manages your lead gen data, because your customer base is about to expand. If you don't like my voice...
There's always mine.
Thank you for calling. All our customers are important to us.
How do you like that?
I think mine might be more appropriate.
You don't know that.
I can do fancy accents.
As good as this.
Make a great impression before you answer the phone. Cox Business Internet and Voice Manager is only $84 a month for the first 6 months with a 3-year agreement. Plus, get a $150 Visa prepaid card after online redemption. Bundle and save today. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 5/3/15. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, where it is now 10 minutes before 1 here on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, where we're also live streaming at KVOI.com and BuckmasterShow.com. We're speaking now with David Higuera, the Southern Arizona Director of the Children's Action Alliance. David, thank you very much for coming in.
Bill, thank you so much for having me.
It was a tough budget for the child well-being issues for parents of kids, especially parents who rely on subsidies for daycare. How would you characterize this budget?
You know, I think Senator David Bradley from Tucson said it best. He said, this budget attacks poor people and families from every direction. It shortchanges our K-12 schools and our K-12 kids. It cuts massively from higher education as well. And as you mentioned, it cuts vital resources from the brand new Department of Child Safety to deal with the kids that are in the foster care system, to deal with the backlog that's larger than ever. There's not really a silver lining as far as kids go in this budget.
And the governor just this week was touting the importance of early childhood development at a school up in the Phoenix area, and then he defended the fact that Arizona puts no money into those programs for most students, or even funds for full day kindergarten.
Yeah, you know, he's fond of saying we just don't have the money, we've got to tighten our belts, but that's a disingenuous argument when he also just signed new tax cuts that are going to continue to shortchange K-12 schools and shut the door on families looking for affordable child care into the future. You know, he took office and the very first thing he said was that these corporate tax cuts that hadn't yet gone into effect are not on the table for negotiation. They will go into effect. And then he signed more. And so it's just not accurate to say we don't have the money. We're giving the money away in ways that have, you know, little or no return, no proven return, And we're disinvesting in our youth, which is truly the basis for our economic future.
David, there was a lot of energy toward the end of the legislative session where all of the area school superintendents came together, a lot of people in your area of work, child well-being issues were uniting. And a lot of that energy is now being carried over as a postcard writing campaign has now been launched. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so Children's Action Alliance is participating along with many other groups around the state, and we've all decided we're writing postcards to the governor, and we're encouraging people to go out to their local drugstore and get an Arizona picture postcard, mm-hmm. And let the governor know how you feel about this budget that he just signed and what you expect for future budgets. And so lots and lots of people have started writing in, and the messages are, you know, quit the disinvestment in kids, stop giving away tax money that we need for schools. It's time to invest in our youth and other messages like that. I was just at a meeting yesterday and, you know, received another 40 of these postcards. And I'll read from one. Arizona's economy deserves child success, or depends on child success. Please let your budget show that children in Arizona are very important. Stop the tax cuts. Stop looking for waste where it doesn't exist. We need to increase funding to support children and families. And lots more messages like that. Everybody can take part in this postcard campaign. Just pick up a postcard at your local drugstore, address it to Governor Ducey, sign it with your name and address, and then go ahead and send it to us at Children's Action Alliance, 4001 North 3rd Street, Phoenix, Arizona, 85012. And what we're going to do is we're going to collect these thousands of postcards from around the state, and we're going to deliver them to the governor with the media in tow so that there's no way he can ignore the voices of all these Arizonans who are truly, truly concerned about what this budget just did and the direction we need to go in the future.
And if folks didn't get perhaps they're driving and they didn't get a chance to write down that information, are you going to put that also up on your website?
Yes, and that's, thank you, Bill. Our website is azchildren.org, azchildren.org, and you can sign up for email alerts there, and you can also take part in the postcard campaign and learn all the details.
So what do you put now as the number one priority for the Children's Action Alliance?
Well, the number one priority for Children's Action Alliance going forward is figuring out a way that we, as a state, start looking at both sides of the ledger and start dealing with the revenue picture because, you know, for 24 of the last 25 years, actually now 25 out of the last 26 years, the state of Arizona has passed further tax cuts, additional tax cuts, larger tax credits. And so we are in a crisis situation. We cannot continue to do that. We're not able to invest in the things that matter if we continue to give this money away. So we're working with allies and looking at how, as a state, we can stem the tide and go in the other direction of you know, everybody paying their fair share and everybody contributing to the things that we all agree are priorities, like K-12 education.
David Higuera is with us, Southern Arizona Director of the Children's Action Alliance, which has been around a long time. It's been an independent voice for Arizona children working to improve children's health, education, and security. And David, as I recall, whenever child well-being surveys come out, I think it's the Annie Casey Foundation does
right, the
that.
Kids Count.
Kids Count, an annual survey. Have we made any progress? Usually we're near the bottom there.
We're still near the bottom.
We are.
On most measurements, we're somewhere between 45th and 50th in terms of educational outcomes, child well-being, and those kinds of things. And so, it's not surprising that with a systematic disinvestment from the state legislature and a couple of our previous governors and the current governor, we're in a bad shape. And children in Arizona have it a lot harder. They have a lot more challenges placed in front of them than children in other states. And that's a state issue, and we need to get to the bottom of it.
And we keep hearing, though, that we're a poor state and that we don't have the money. But then you counter by saying,
we're giving away hundreds of millions of dollars in tax cuts that haven't been proven to do what they're supposed to do in terms of economic development. And so, you know, a full third of our current deficit that we were going into this session, the $1 billion deficit for fiscal 16, was based on tax cuts that were implemented after the Great Recession. So it's like our legislature is addicted to more and more tax cuts. They don't care whether they're working or not to do what they propose to do, but they're always out to give out more, and that's got to stop. And Arizonans from all walks of life agree we can't just be continuing to cut taxes. We need to start investing in our kids and families.
Okay, and again, for folks that would like to take part in this postcard writing campaign, what's the best way to do that?
So go to our website at azchildren.org and click on the story about the postcard campaign. You'll get all the details. And then it's really simple. You go to your local drugstore, pick up an Arizona postcard, and write your note to the governor.
Well, and then you put a deadline on this campaign?
Yeah, we're asking all postcards to come in by May 8th, but get it in sooner if you can. And we're going to be, you know, having a big press event when we deliver, along with other organizations, what is sure to be thousands of postcards to the governor's office.
David, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Bill, so much.
David Higuera of the Children's Action Alliance. David is the relatively new Southern Arizona director. He took over in January after Penelope Jacks had been with that organization for at least 20 years, and Penelope retired and David took over. And David, thank you again for being with us.
My pleasure.
Want to tell you about one of our fine sponsors on the Buckmaster Show. If you are looking for any kind of needs for your foreign or domestic automobile, I strongly recommend Mike Emery and his team of top-notch A1 mechanics at Perfection Auto Works, a convenient Midtown location, one block south of Speedway, 1046 North Beverly, 323-8650, and you can find them online at perfectionautoworks.com. And remember, Mike is offering a free 26-point inspection. That's a good deal. Just say you heard about it on the Buckmaster Show. Coming up this afternoon, For Tucson at 4 with Mike Shaw, another one of our local talk shows on The Voice, KVOI. And then tomorrow morning, Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe, just celebrating their 6th anniversary. That means as of today, they have now begun year number 7. That's how that works. And then Christy Simone will be with us with the Daily Double from 8 to 9. Ed Alexander on the other side of the glass with you and with them and back with me at 12:04. Have a great afternoon.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.